Well, if you have your Bible there, we're going to start today in the third chapter of Matthew. And I want to bring 4 points to you today regarding the doctrinal foundation for the Holy Spirit baptism and the Spirit-filled believer's life. And you can look in God's Word and know that there's a foundational scripture, that there are situations and foundational scriptures that speak about the Spirit-filled life, that speak about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is God's will for you. I pray that if you have been sitting under teaching for many years that tells us that there is no baptism of fire, there is no baptism of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you would reconsider that today and just listen to the words of God from His Word, from His Holy Word, and that you would know this is God's will for your life, that we're not just reading about history events, we're not just reading about a historical account that happened to some people 2,000 years ago, that we are asking the Lord for that very same power. We are asking the Lord for that resurrection power. And brethren, if you would ask the Lord, He is not stingy. God is not a miser. He is not running short on His good and perfect gifts. And so if you would ask Him and just believe in faith that He has the greatest and perfect gifts for you, God Almighty will give to you those gifts, and He will bless you with them, and you can walk in victory, you can walk in power, you can walk in that same Spirit-filled life that is bringing glory to God, to His kingdom, to Jesus Christ, and His will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven through you as you walk in that Spirit and in that power-filled life that He has for you. Well, first of all, the first point I want to make is that the Spirit-filled life, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was prophesied in two different Gospels. It was prophesied first in Matthew 3:11. Matthew says, in quoting John the Baptist, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, and He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so John the Baptist was out in the Jordan River, and he was baptizing, and he was preaching, and he was preaching a message, a gospel of repentance, and then he would follow that up when people repented and asked the Lord to forgive them. He would follow that up by baptizing them in the Jordan River. And the Pharisees had come out to John, and he said to them, "Bring forth fruits in your life according to repentance." Bring forth fruits according to repentance. In other words, he was saying to them, your religion, your religiosity, your show, your rituals, and all of that doesn't amount to much in the eyes of God. And he's saying, get right before God. Get your heart right before God. And so that is the message for us today. Many of us in this Christian walk have become satisfied and complacent, and even to the point of lethargic and apathetic, and we're satisfied with ritual, we're satisfied with tradition, we're satisfied with just going to church and going through the motions, and we come home from church and we're empty. We really haven't got any fire in us. We haven't got any desire to go out and preach the gospel or to share the good news of the gospel with any of our family or friends or neighbors or co-workers. And so God is saying to you today, He wants you to come to Him to receive that baptism of fire. He wants you to get that fire on you and in you so that you will have the desire to get out there and to share the gospel and to take the gospel to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Well, John the Baptist is speaking in the Gospel of Luke here in Luke 3:16, the same gospel, basically account that was in the Gospel of Matthew. Luke 3:16, we'll start in verse 15. It says, "Now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, then John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And so there's two gospel accounts of John the Baptist prophesying that Jesus Christ was going to bring another kind of a baptism. It wasn't going to be the baptism of water. It was going to be a baptism of fire, and he would put this fire in you, and then you would be his witness, you would be his spokesperson, and you would have the fire to carry the gospel message even to the remotest parts of the earth. In Luke 11:9, it tells us here that the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the receipt of the Holy Spirit, is just a matter of asking the Lord for it, that God wants to give it to you. Brethren, if you have not received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, God wants to give it to you. He is desirous to give every good and perfect gift to us, and so that baptism of the fire, that baptism of the Holy Spirit is part of God's plan for your life. And maybe you have been disappointed in your Christian walk, even to the point of you've become a backslider, or you've stepped away, or you've backed away because you just don't have that fire to get out there and really do what God wants you to do. You know in your heart that there's a lot more for you. You know in your heart that God wants you to move into a higher calling and move into a higher place, and yet you're reluctant. You sit back, you wait, you hope something will spark that urge or that sense of urgency in you. And beloved, I believe God has for you today that baptism of fire. I believe he wants to stir up the coals, stir up the embers, and it's just a matter of asking. And that's the second point I want to bring to you today, is that you ask the Lord, that you just ask the Lord for every good and perfect gift, and he will be very happy to pour out on you that which you ask for. In Luke 11:9, it says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Well, of course, we know the answer to all of those questions is no. If you ask your father for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you a stone. And those of you who are fathers, you know when your son asks you for something, if it's a reasonable request and if it's something you think will be in his better interest, you're going to do everything you can to give that son what he asked for or to help him to achieve it. And so it is with our Heavenly Father, even more so, that he will help us to have that which we ask for, that he will help us to receive that which he knows is in our best interest. And God loves us. He loves you, each and every one of you out there listening today. God loves you. He wants you to have that Holy Spirit fire. He wants you to have that baptism of fire. God wants you to be in the game. He wants you to be in the game, and he wants you to receive that baptism of fire. And so he goes on, Luke does, in chapter 11, verse 13, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And so if the measure is that your earthly father wants to give you good gifts, if that's the standard that we measure goodness by and righteousness by, Luke says that even more so our Heavenly Father, even more so our Heavenly Father will give us that Holy Spirit that we ask for. And God, again, is not running short on good and perfect gifts. He's not a miser. He's not stingy. He has your best interest at heart. He wants to see the kingdom take off on this earth. He wants to see the kingdom take off, and he wants to see people come to know the Lord. He wants to see people saved. He wants to see people come into the kingdom, and so that is his desire for every single person. 2 Peter 3:9, that God is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness or some count slackness, but he is desiring that every single person come to repentance and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And so our Heavenly Father knows how to give good and perfect gifts and the Holy Spirit will be given to every single person who asks for it, and he will receive it. Well, the two main situations where the Holy Spirit was poured out and upon which you can build doctrine, first of all, it was poured out in Jerusalem on the Jews first, and it's just as Jesus predicted, it would come to Jerusalem and to the Jews first. And he talks about this with his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus was meeting with the disciples, and he said to them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard from me. And he was referring to the Holy Spirit. That was the promise of the Father. And Jesus had previously told the disciples that he was going to be leaving them, and when he was preparing them for his crucifixion and ultimately the resurrection, he told them, I'm going to be leaving you, but I'm not leaving you alone. There's going to be a helper left with you, and that helper is called the Paraclete, or the Counselor, the Comforter, and he will be here with you. And Jesus said, even the works that you've seen me do, even those works, you're going to be able to do even greater works than what you've seen me do. And so Jesus was preparing them, and he was saying, get ready, I'm going to be leaving, but we're not leaving you without ammunition, we're not leaving you without explosive dynamite or dunamis. In verse 11 in John 14, Jesus said, believe me that I am in the Father and me also, for else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so Jesus was saying, you're not going to be left powerless. You're not going to be left shifting on your own. I'm going to leave you something that is going to give you power, dunamis, and I'm going to leave it to you so that you'll be able to carry on even in greater measure than what you've seen me carry on, even in greater measure. And beloved, I believe this day that we're living in, you're going to see great miracles. You're going to see great revivals and a move of the Spirit in America, because America is so broken and in need of God's Word and in need of power of the Holy Spirit. You're going to see the move of God come into this country, and you're going to see stadiums filled up, and you're going to see miracles, and you're going to see signs and wonders. And I believe God is preparing the hearts of the people here in this nation through the brokenness and through the calamitous events and natural disasters and terrorist attacks and other things that may be on the horizon here for this country. I believe God is preparing the hearts of the people here for a mighty move of the Holy Spirit, for a tremendous move of his power and his testimony here on this earth in this country. And so Jesus was preparing the disciples in the first chapters of Acts. In verse 4, he said, don't depart, stay here, wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard from me. And then in verse 5, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Acts 1, verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And so Jesus said, you're going to be my witness, that this power will impel you, or it will instill in you a desire to share with others about the good news of the gospel. And I would ask you today, brethren, I would ask this question of you, do you have that fire? Do you have the desire to share the good news of the gospel? I pray that you do. I pray that you would be speaking with people in your sphere of influence. I pray that you would be speaking with your co-workers, your family, your friends, and just let them know what you feel about Jesus Christ. Let them know that you believe that Jesus Christ is the answer for their life, is the answer for their problems. I have the awesome privilege of being in the prisons every week to minister to men who are very broken, and men whose lives are shattered, and men who have been forsaken by their families and their friends, their wives, their children, and yet I've seen over and over and over the power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to come in and restore and to regenerate and to strengthen these men and to encourage them. And just 2 weeks ago, we had 18 baptisms in the prison where I preach on a Sunday. We had 18 baptisms. And so I know firsthand, and I've experienced over and over and over, the power of God to transform lives, the power of God to change even the most hard-hearted and broken people, the most calloused criminals that you can imagine, and people that are broken in every way. I've seen the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to change these men's lives. And so I know that if you speak to those in your sphere of influence, if you speak to those who you know need to know about the truth of the gospel, they need to know the hope of the gospel, if you will speak to them, if you will muster up the courage and the fire to speak to them, God will give you the right words, God will give you the message, and He will initiate in you a desire for souls, and He will give you everything, every tool that you need to go forth into Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. It may be just down the street, it may be into the next city, it may be across the water to another country, but God will give you the courage to do it. He'll give you the provision. He'll give you that dunamis, that power, to be His witness in the remotest parts of the earth. Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit was poured out to the Jews, as I said in Acts 2:4. Here it came, and it says they were all filled. This is at the day of Pentecost. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so it came just as it was prophesied. It came to the Jews first, and then secondly it came to the Gentiles. It came to Cornelius and his family, and we take that up in Acts 10 verse 1. It tells us there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, that is when Cornelius observed the angel, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And so he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he is lodging with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea, and he will tell you what you must do. And so Cornelius was given instruction from an angel of the Lord. It tells us that Cornelius was a man who feared God. He and his family feared God, that he was continually praying. In verse 2 it says he prayed to God always, and he was a devout man and he was a Gentile, but he feared the Lord God, and he was a man of prayer. And this is a lesson for us, brethren. If you have not received that baptism in the Holy Spirit, just be in reverence and be in awe of God, and just continue to be humble before God, be face down before God, spend time in prayer every single day, and fear God. Fear God. Many, many people here in America have lost their fear of God. If they ever had it, they have lost it. We've lost our fear of God as a nation, and we are openly mocking God. We are openly flaunting rebellion and insubordination. And so I beg of you to fear God. Just have a healthy, reverent fear of God, that you are going to have to stand before Him. Someday you're going to have to stand before Him, and it may be sooner than you think. You're going to have to stand before Him and make an account of every careless word and every careless deed and every act that you have ever done here on this earth. And so as you stand before God, as you project in your mind that time when you're going to be standing before God, I pray that you would just have that healthy fear of God and that reverence for God, and that you would stay low, that you would stay in prayer, that you would humble yourself before Him. And if you do that, if you get rid of all your pride and all of your arguments against God in this life, if you just get rid of all of your arguments and stop contending with God, just come into agreement with Him, He will be more than happy to bless you with the Holy Spirit and pour out on you every good and perfect gift. At the same time, Peter was being given a vision, and in that vision, a sheet came down from heaven three different times. It had all the different animals, clean and unclean, on it. And Peter said, "I've never eaten anything unclean, Lord. What are you trying to show me?" And God was trying to show him that God is taking in the unclean. He was going to take in the Gentiles, that He is no respecter of persons. And no one is outside of God's desire to come into the kingdom. No one is too full of sin or too wicked or too evil to come into the kingdom of God. And again, in the prisons, it's easy to see that God is no respecter of persons. He cares about every single person, no matter what their rap sheet, no matter what they've done, no matter how far they've drifted away from the Lord. He cares about them. He loves them. He sends His Son Jesus out and the Holy Spirit out to woo in even the most hardened of hearts to go down over the cliff and bring that lost sheep up out of that ravine and up out of that place of danger. And so that is His will for even the most hard of hearts, the most hardened and the most wicked and empty of souls here on this earth. God still loves them, He cares about them, and He wants them to come into the kingdom. Well, I'm going to wrap this up in verse 44, chapter 10. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision, that is the Jews who believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Well, Peter had been there preaching to Cornelius, and he preached the message of hope that Jesus saves. Cornelius and his family received, and then it says that they were astonished because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked Peter to stay on a few days. Well, the Holy Spirit was poured out first on the Jews, then it was poured out on the Gentiles. And God was showing through His word that He is no respecter of persons, that He wants every single person to receive that baptism of the Holy Spirit, to receive that baptism of the fire, and to go and be His witness in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and in Kansas City, and in every other city all across this earth, even to the remotest parts of the earth. And that is God's will for you, brethren. I hope you receive that message today. I hope you get down on your knees, cry out to the Lord, stay humble before Him, stay in awe and in fear of Him, and He will bless you with every good and every perfect gift. Well, stay tuned. We're going to have contact information, how you can partner with Gather the Outcast Ministry. We've got some great things going on in the ministry, and I pray that you would come alongside and help us to accomplish what God has for us here on this earth. And I pray that God would bless you as you do that and as you pray about your part in moving the kingdom forward with Gather the Outcast Ministry. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.